This is Chris Brooks. Thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Be sure and subscribe for free so that you don't miss an episode. For more information, visit our website, equipradio.org. Well, hey there, friends. Welcome to another exciting edition of Equip with Chris Brooks. I am so thrilled that you joined me today. Can you do me a favor? Strap on your seatbelt. We're going to navigate through the contours of culture, as always, with the lens of the biblical worldview on. But before we do that, let me remind you, this is the day that the Lord has made. He has given it as a gift so that you and I can rejoice and be glad in it. So let's do just that. Let's follow the word to the Apostle Paul. Let's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, it's already been a great day in the Brooks household. I hope it's been a great day for you as well. Our morning starts early. And as I've shared with you before, it typically starts with me having a Bible study with one or both of my sons, depending on who's doing pickups and drop-offs that morning. And so this morning with my oldest son, we get a chance to look at Proverbs chapter 30. And in Proverbs chapter 30, we read that the word of the Lord is true. And so we talked about that, me and my son, about where do you find truth? What is the source of truth? And we talked about the fact that the scriptures, the source is the source of truth. As a matter of fact, Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 5 says, every word of God proves true. And that's the battle that I'm trying to win in my son's heart in this season. I want to win the battle over the authority of the word of God, because if we can establish in our kids' hearts that the word of God is true, that the word of God is authoritative, then I think that helps us to win every other battle. I don't care if it's a lie about sexuality, about race, about purpose or identity or significance. All of those battles can be won if we settle that every word of God is true. And friends, I don't want you to feel like you can't have that discussion with your boys. As a matter of fact, I want to give you a resource. I want to help you with a tool. If you listened in earlier this week, had a conversation with Aaron and Jason Davis about this wonderful book that we're featuring all month long. It's called Lies Boys Believe. It's an epic quest for truth. It's a powerful resource, a story, if you will, that incorporates some key questions and conversation starters that we can have with our boys to help them to spot the lie in culture and to be lie fighters, how to fight against the lie, to be lie proof, if you will. There are a lot of lies in our culture, again, around identity, around truth, around significance, around purpose, sin and salvation. But if we want to protect the hearts of our boys, then I highly encourage this resource. It's meant a lot to me, so I want to pass it on to you. So all month long, a gift of any amount to the ministry, we will send it right over to you. So if you are a mom or a dad, a grandma or grandpa that's been praying for your boys, I want you to call now. This could be the answer to your prayers. 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. All month long, we're featuring this, and this is a 2-for-1 deal this month, because you get the parent guide as well as the book. So it's a 2-for-1 deal, and I promise you, you will be blessed. Well, today, I want to have a conversation about what it means to love our neighbors. We have talked a lot on this program about my passion for us, you and I, to bear faithful witness to the gospel, to reach our neighbors with the good news of the salvation that is found in Christ alone, the good news of God's grace in Jesus Christ. But how do we do it with our Muslim neighbors? And we've talked about this from so many different angles, but I want to talk today to a gentleman who I respect. I'm just getting the chance to meet him, but I've respected his ministry and his story as a Christ follower who has spent much of his life in and around Muslims. and understanding the culture in the community. And I think there's a lot that we can learn from Dr. Ibrahim. Dr. Ibrahim has written a great book called Reaching Your Muslim Neighbor with the Gospel. Dr. Ibrahim serves as the Bill and Connie Jenkins Professor of Islamic Studies at Southern Seminary. He's also the director of the Jenkins Center for a Christian Understanding of Islam. Dr. Ibrahim was born and raised in Egypt and has taught in various countries in both the Western and the Muslim world. He has a wonderful marriage and has carved out time to be with us today. Grateful for his family and his ministry. Dr. Ibrahim, thank you for joining us on Equip today.
Chris, what a joy to be with you. Thank you so much for this opportunity, and I look forward to this discussion, man.
Talk to us about your beloved Egypt. What was it like growing up in Egypt? If I'm correct, you grew up in a Christian family. Is that right?
So many would assume that I grew in a pyramid. That's wrong. I was born and raised in Egypt. I love Egypt. It's a beautiful country. And I was born in Cairo. That's the capital of Egypt. I was born in a family that is, by all measures, you can call this a cultural Christian family. Cultural, okay. Because there was no deep understanding of following Christ as Lord and Savior. And I remember my father used to go to the Coptic Orthodox Church once a week just to pray Our Father in Heaven, you know, and that's all what my family really understood about being a Christian. But the Lord visited me when I was nine and a half years, and I committed my life to follow Christ, my Lord, and that's how it all started. So, yeah, that's how the journey started.
Since that time, you've gone on and committed yourself to study. You got a Master's of Divinity. You
absolutely
have a PhD. Talk about your journey in academics. Why has that been so important to the call of God on your life?
That's sweet. Well, when I was growing up in Egypt, the Christian community in Egypt in general is small. It's minority, and it consists of three major denominations: Orthodox, Catholics, and Evangelicals, or Protestant in general. And I was part of the Evangelical Church, and something that our audience would be interested in, I believe, is that these three denominations are all called Copts. Why?
Yes.
Because Coptic is not a religious adherence. It's more like an ethnicity. And the Christians, all Christians in Egypt are Copts. Even we call the evangelicals Coptic evangelicals. Anyway,
yes.
So I obtained my engineering degree, my bachelor degree in engineering, which opened many places for me to travel and preach the word of God. So I was able to travel to many of the Middle Eastern countries and the North African countries and the Arabic speaking countries. And that was through my engineering job, which was really such a blessing. But because of my love for preaching, I wanted to study and get some solid understanding of theology, of missiology, of biblical theology, and so forth. So I came to study in the United States. I was focused on MDiv. And as I began working on my MDiv, I realized that many around me in America would love to hear more about Middle Eastern cultures,
yes. Yes.
About Islam, about Muslims, what can we understand about Islam. So I began teaching seminars in that field, which opened doors for me, for people to ask me, you should do a PhD. And this what prompted me to pursue a PhD. And then the story continued in that direction. So my focus in the PhD was Islamic history. And then I did a second PhD, again, focused on Islamic history. And then I began teaching Christians how to understand Islam and Muslims as a profession, yes. as a professor, you know.
I share with you that I was blessed to marry into a Ethiopian Christian family, but Ethiopia, who's a neighbor to Egypt, is quickly becoming what has been a historically Christian country, is quickly becoming predominantly Muslim. And and even the region where we live in the U.S. has a pretty significant Muslim population. So this is of particular interest to me. You say in your book that there are many misconceptions about the followers of Islam held among Christians.
Yeah.
Give me a sense of what do you think is the most common misconception?
Like many people would tend to think that all Muslims are the same. That's really not true. Most like Muslims are different, and they come from a lot of different cultures. So if you see a Muslim in Egypt and begin talking with that Muslim, it's very much probably going to be different from a Muslim in Thailand and a Muslim in Saudi Arabia. So what are the major differences? Mostly cultural differences and more of how they approach Islam.
Now, is this what leads you to refer to Islam's plural instead of Islam singular?
Right, because partly it is very true that Muslims are all over the world, but they view their religion differently. So I always say that, number one, theologically, there are some differences, but also culturally. There are many differences. And basically, when you see a Muslim here, born, let's just for the sake of discussion, think of a Muslim born in a family in America. Most likely, and I don't want to generalize, but most likely that Muslim would be more American than Muslim. By this, I mean this person would be more inclined to live Islam as a religion, but basically in the culture of America that he grew up in. So he would be more like, you know, I understand there is some theological teaching in Islam, but I'm not adopting this. And they would live in America as American Muslims. Again, this is like, I'm not trying to generalize, but you know, it's the case, you know, if it makes sense.
I think this is important for us to understand. I think it's just as important for us to understand theological distinction and difference as it is for us to understand cultural distinction and difference, because all of it is critical. Before we take our first break in a moment, though, how central to all of this is the love of Christ? It seems to me, as I read your book, that the central starting point is we need to pray for a Christ-centered love for our Muslim neighbor.
I hope this is clear in my book, and I want my American friends to be eager to befriend Muslims, because Muslims are people that Jesus wants to reach, and we have the best message that we can offer, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And many
yes.
of my Muslim friends, Chris, many of my Muslim friends are in a big need for the gospel of hope. Why am I emphasizing the word hope? Because really, Muslims, if you study Islamic theology a little bit, you would find that many Muslims need hope, but they cannot find it. And I believe, as Christ followers, we have a message of hope.
We are called to share with urgency the message of God's love and his pursuit of our Muslim friends and neighbors through Jesus Christ, just as he sought after all people. He seeks after them and loves them. And Dr. Ibrahim's book helps to explain why. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to ask Dr. Ibrahim to explain why he questions the argument that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. But we also want to incorporate you into this conversation. So maybe you have a Muslim neighbor, coworker, or friend that you love for us to pray for. We'd love to be your prayer partner today on their behalf. Here's the number to call, 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-548-3675. We'll be right back. Forming your son into a man who can recognize a lie, resist it, and replace it with truth won't just happen, but it's a skill he can learn as you lead him. Lies Boys Believe is a lie-busting, truth-telling book, and it comes with a parent guide, too. We'll equip you to train your son to love and trust God's way. These two resources are yours with the gift of any amount to equip. Simply call 888-644-4144 or give online at equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Dr. Ibrahim's book again is entitled Reaching Your Muslim Neighbor with the Gospel. Dr. Ibrahim is rightly viewed as one of the leading scholars on Islam in our day. What a blessing it is to not only have his book in my hand, but to have our dear brother joining me today on Equip. We're going to take your calls at 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-548-3675. Maybe there's a Muslim colleague or coworker or neighbor or friend that you would love for us to pray for today, for their eyes to be open to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to the glorious grace of the gospel. I want you to give us a call at 877-LIVE-675. Going to go to the phone lines in just a moment. But before we do, you often hear pundits, news broadcasters, some even sociologists claim that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world today. What do you say to that, Dr. Ibrahim?
That's a very good question, and thanks for asking it, Chris. I understand the sentence, the claim that Islam, I know what people say, but honestly, I don't think so. When we hear Islam is the fastest growing religion, are we really talking about how the message of Islam is convincing to many, and many people are converting to Islam and changing their religion from atheists being Muslims or from Christians being Muslim or so? I don't think so. What many people mean by this sentence is that the number of Muslims is growing. So let me take this sentence here. Is this really true? Yes and no, because basically in this consideration, I don't think the number of Muslims is growing as it used to be. And honestly, when we say that Islam is the fastest growing, what we actually mean is that Muslims have more babies. Like the birth rate among Muslim families seem to be higher, but this is not anymore. Like recent studies say that due to economic pressure, Muslim families are facing the same as anyone else. So the number of children is also coming to be like to halt, okay? So I think actually we also need to add to the full picture what actually is happening in the household of Islam, what is happening among Muslims. I see and I know many Muslims who are questioning Islam as never before. And that's not only in the West, America, and Europe, but also in the Middle East and in the heartland of Islam. In my book, I provided a lot of examples and statistics, because basically the way I see it is that no, actually, many Muslims are questioning Islam because of the access to the internet now and how it provides a lot of dimensions that you can. Many Muslims didn't know about these facts in Islam, and that makes Muslims question their faith as never before. And yes, that's the basic answer to that question, if it makes sense.
Yeah, so when we hear that, we shouldn't assume that that means through conversion. We should hear that as partially birth rate, but understanding that underneath all of those statements in the reality of what's happening in the Muslim world is similar to what's happening in the Christian world.
And absolutely,
that is
there
are more questioning, more doubting, more deconstruction happening, and that's a product of our age. And all of that leads to a great opportunity for us to share the love of Christ and the gospel, the good news
Very
of Jesus.
Correct.
Let's go to the phone lines. Anna has been patiently listening in Florida. Hey, Anna, thank you so much for giving us a call and for listening to Equip. How can we pray for you today?
My nephew, Wesley, I brought him to church. At 9 years old, he decided that he was too old to go to church. In his 20s, he started some friends took him to a Muslim church. And then the first thing they put him to do was to read the Bible. And then they told him how the Bible is not true and all the different inconsistencies of the Bible. So it's hard for me to... If he doesn't believe in the Bible, it's hard for me to talk to him about God and the Bible, but I keep praying for him. He's become like a Muslim in the Muslim religion, like a minister. And then the burden on my heart is that he's also misleading a whole bunch of people into this religion. And his mother, who was a very devout Christian, told me she just became a Muslim. And it's devastating. And I keep praying, Lord, please reveal Jesus to him, you know. And I've been telling him, you're Paul, and I want you to fall off your horse so you could regain your vision and see Jesus. And, you know, and then you would see the truth of the gospel and of salvation.
How old is he, Anna? How old is your nephew?
He's now in his early 40s.
Okay, so he's not a child. He's an older man. Okay, so first off, let me say that I'm grateful for your call, and I hear the burden of your heart, and we want to be here to help. I think that you are doing the right thing in praying. Praise God that you are praying for him. I'm going to ask Dr. Ibrahim to pray for your nephew, to pray for your sister, to pray for your family. But before Dr. Ibrahim prays, I do want to be a blessing to you, and that is I want to send you a complimentary copy of Dr. Ibrahim's book, Reaching Your Muslim Neighbor with the Gospel. This will be for you, not for your nephew, but for you to be able to read, and as you read, pray for your heart to not only be full of love for your family, for your nephew, but that God would give you wisdom on how to apply what Dr. Ibrahim has put in the book. Dr. Ibrahim, can you pray for Anna, for her nephew, yes, Wesley, and for her family?
Abba, Father, thank you so much for loving us in Christ. Thank you so much for Anna and for how she wants people to know the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray for her nephew, and we pray for her family, and we ask you, God, to open eyes and change minds. God, please reveal the truth in Christ in everything Anna does for her family and especially for her nephew. Would you please open his eyes and bring him back to you through the gospel of Jesus Christ? Lord, please break through in this situation and bring Jesus Christ light to the scene. We pray in his name. Amen.
Amen. Anna, you stay on the line. Dr. Ibrahim, thank you for praying. What, if you were in Anna's situation, how would you approach it?
I feel really bad for the situation. I want to be honest with you because I think many people who convert to Islam don't really know what Islam is really about. They basically hear stuff about Islam and they just embrace the ideas and the ideology. And I think there is also part of why Christians need to be equipped on how to answer questions posed by Muslims. So, for example, when a Muslim says your Bible is corrupt, many Christians don't know what to say. But actually, for centuries, Christians have developed good and convincing and plausible answers. So in the book, Anna, and I'm grateful that Chris is sending you a copy, in the book, you will find a chapter completely dedicated to the answer of this question, plus many other questions that are provided with answers. So I would pray for your nephew more if I were in your shoes, and I would use the book and raise some questions, and maybe at some point you can even talk about particular aspects of the book in that conversation with him. We'll pray for you, Anna.
Anna, you stay on the line. When we come back, we're going to take more of your calls. The book, Reaching Your Muslim Neighbor with the Gospel. Dr. Ibrahim will stay with us while we're on this break. Go online, find out how you can order your copy at equippedradio.org. That's equippedradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Grateful for Dr. Ibrahim, author of the book, Reaching Your Muslim Neighbor with the Gospel, for him stopping by and sharing wisdom and insight into how we can be more effective in our evangelism and sharing of our faith, the love of Christ with our neighbor. We're going to get back to that in just a moment. But all month long, I told you that we are in a fight for the souls of our sons. The crises around boys in America has been well documented. Many have talked about, from education to incarceration to everything in between, how our boys are in trouble. So I want to help you to raise healthy, Christ-centered boys who don't fall prey to the lies of our culture. I think that the epidemic among boys has been entirely manufactured because of the lies and the absence of truth and the cultural lies that has infected the hearts of many of our boys. And so I want to encourage you to join me on this epic quest for truth this month. And this month, all month long, your gift of any amount to Equip, we're sending you the two pack of books, Lies Boys Believe, as well as the parent guide that goes with it, so that you can begin to intentionally disciple your sons and your grandsons so that they can spot a lie and they can combat that lie in their own heart and in the lives of their friends as well. Let's protect the hearts of our boys this month. So your gift of $25 or $50 or $100, be the most generous you can, because your gifts make these resources possible. Dial the number now, 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144, or if it's easier, go to our website, equippedradio.org. Dr. Ibrahim writes this in his book, Reaching Your Muslim Neighbor with the Gospel. I want you to join the work of God among Muslims today. I pray that you will see Muslims as Jesus sees them. Well, how does Jesus see them? He sees them as a people, like every people from every background, that are loved and sought after. God is moving mightily among Muslims, and I want us to be a part of that. I want you to be a part of that. So today we're praying with you, as well as sharing from Dr. Ibrahim's book. Before we go back to the book, let's go to Lily, who's listening in St. Charles, Illinois. Lily, thank you so much for listening to Equip. How can we pray for you today?
Hi, so I have a wonderful friend, and I love her very much, and we've been friends for over 7 years, and every time that something is going on in her life, obviously she asks me for prayers, and so she knows that Jesus is the way to heaven, and we were on vacation a couple years ago, and she kept hearing noises as we were sleeping. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I hear noises. I see the devil in the room. And then she kept calling my name. But I didn't hear her because we were asleep. And then the next morning, I started rebuking Satan all around. And I said, oh, no, you will be fine tonight. You will be fine. So she still slept with the lights on. But she knew that the power and the blood of Jesus Christ is what got rid of any yeah. evil spirits that were in her area. So she knows it. So it's just, and she's seen me because I've been like her walking Bible. And all her friends that are around her, they're all Christians. Yes. Like her best friend is me. Her other best friend is Christian. Her neighbor is Christian. Her other best friend is Christian. So she's yeah, surrounded by Christians.
Great.
So I'm like, this cannot be a coincidence, Father God.
Obviously, God is at work in her heart. And yes. clearly, God is at work in your heart. One of the wonderful things that I talk about a lot that you can see as a tangible evidence of love is tears. I often talk about the ministry of tears. Just when we weep over someone else's sin or someone else's soul, and just to hear you weeping is such a blessing. And so I'm going to ask Dr. Ibrahim again if he would not mind praying for Lily and for her dear Muslim friend to come to faith in Jesus. I also want you to stay on the line, Lily. We're going to get you a copy of Dr. Ibrahim's book. Again, this is for you. Not so much for your friend, but for you to give you wisdom on how to share Christ more effectively. Dr. Ibrahim, can you pray for Lily and for her friend?
Yes, of course. Abba, Father, we pray for Lily's friend, and we pray that you intervene in this situation, and through Lily and through Lily's sharing the gospel, we want her friend to come to know you as Lord and Savior, and to know that you are the deliverer, and the Holy Spirit can deliver from the bondage of any evil spirits. And we ask you, God, to use the friendship between Lily and his and her friend to bring Jesus' name higher and higher in this friendship, and you set free this friend. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lily. You stay on the line. We're going to get you a copy of the book as well. Before we go back to the phone lines, Dr. Ibrahim, when you think about the many stories about Jesus in the Bible, is there one that you would highlight that we, when we're sharing with our Muslim friends, should be intentional about sharing?
Oh, my goodness, Chris, there are many. And I write on how some New Testament stories about Jesus can connect really well with our Muslim friends. So, for example, since we were talking with Lily, I think that the story of how Jesus healed a woman who has been sick for 12 years, just when she touched him, and that's very unique, and it can connect very well with our Muslim friends, because Muslims in general views the world in terms of how there are spiritual, powerful forces working so well in the unseen world. So I think Lily would just benefit greatly from these stories. But this is one story, Chris, that I would use in that conversation with Lily's friend, plus many others, like Jesus calming the sea and stopping the wind. He has authority over the cosmos, you know. So stories of that sort, you know.
Yeah, no, I love that. You know, we often talk about two different types of witnessing moments. One is when there is the theological differences that you want to discuss, to highlight the distinction theologically, to show the superiority of Christian theology. But the second is power encounters. And I often talk to my friends who are in the eastern part of the world, and they will tell you that so often in the West, you guys debate over philosophy and theology, but here we need demonstrations of God's power. And I'm grateful that you highlight that story. There is an entire chapter, Lily, and for all of you who get Dr. Ibrahim's book, an entire chapter dedicated to stories from the Gospels on the life of Jesus So that as we're proclaiming Christ, we can think about these biblical stories to connect to the Muslim heart. Let's go back to the phone lines. Reuben is listening in St. Cloud, Florida. Hey, Reuben, thanks for calling, brother. I appreciate you calling. How can we pray for you today?
Thank you, brother. Can I say marhaba to the doctor?
Hey, marhaba.
Alhamdulillah. Let me ask you a question.
Yes, Robin.
I just want to let you guys know, yeah, I am blessed by this radio talk that you guys are doing right now, the show.
Yes.
I am friends with DJ Khaled and his family.
They're
great. Palestinians.
Yes.
These people are very nice people. I worked with Lebanese, yep. Pakistanis, Turkish, Syrian. I worked with that in all that Muslim environment. And I became Christian after them, after I met all of them, after I stopped working for them. I approached them, but it's not as easy as I thought, you know, because they're wealthy people. They're famous. I mean, DJ Khaled is very famous. He doesn't need anything, apparently.
Yeah.
So basically, I want to approach them, not in a hammering way, not in the... I want to approach them with the tools that I need to make them more sensitive to the word, and for them not to look at Reuben like, oh, Reuben is a messenger of... No. I want the Holy Spirit to immediately start convincing them of the need for Christ and the need for salvation, basically. So
Let me say this, Reuben.
You, doctor. Yeah.
Let me, if you don't mind, let me just say this. Yeah, we're going to get you a copy of Dr. Ibrahim's book, and I'm going to ask him once again to pray. Dr. Ibrahim is joining us today to be able to share and also to pray. But there's two chapters that I would love for you to highlight and circle when you get his book. Chapter 3, A Christ-Centered Approach to Islam and Muslims. And I love that chapter. It's really important. Along with chapter 4, developing a Christ-like love for your Muslim neighbor. Now, I said two chapters. I'm going to throw in a third that I think is really important, and that's chapter 8, the role of intercessory prayer in evangelism. I think that you showing and modeling the love of Christ along with faithful, dedicated prayer over time just creates the environment in which the Holy Spirit moves in special ways. Dr. Ibrahim, before we go to break, we have about a minute before break. Can you pray for our dear brother, Reuben?
Yes, and I would also say that the chapter on raising questions will help him. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you use our friend Reuben here to proclaim the name of Jesus in a great way, in a marvelous way, and to come to be the ambassador among his friends with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you please use him in a mighty way to make Jesus known? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. What a blessing, Reuben. You stay on the line. We're going to get you a copy of the book, Reaching Your Muslim Neighbor with the Gospel by Dr. Ibrahim. All right, friends, we got to take our last and final break. But as I've often said, these breaks are set up strategically to give you an opportunity to breathe, to take in what you've learned, to ask the question, how now shall I live in light of what I've learned? But also for you to order your copy of the resource. Go to our website today, equippedradio.org. That's equippedradio.org. There you can click on program details. You'll see information about the book, Reaching Your Muslim Neighbor with the Gospel. Also, don't forget, social media is available to you now, 24 hours a day. 7 days a week, our social sites and platforms are available. So please share your questions, your comments, and your prayer requests there. We'll be right back right after this. This daily program is fully devoted to coming alongside listeners like you to give you the tools needed for a successful walk with God. As one of our loyal listeners, would you be willing to become an Equipper? Your monthly contribution will be applied to equipping others all across the country. Plus, as an Equipper, I'll send you regular emails that contain brief pastoral messages prepared just for you. To become an Equipper now, call 888-644-4144 or go online to equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Before we close today, I'll make sure I pray for all of you who have called in. It's been a blessing to get calls from all over the country today. And I want to make sure that we pray for all of our callers. Estelle is calling in from Illinois. And I'm just going to ask Estelle's question on her behalf. Estelle, thank you for calling in. But Dr. Ibrahim, Estelle lives in a Muslim family. She wants to know, how do I reach my brothers and sisters with the gospel?
Wow, this is a great question. And I only would ask the Holy Spirit to help you still and to give you wisdom on how to bring the gospel conversations to Muslim, to those around you. My favorite method is what I call in my book, Jesus method. I think in the hearts of many, there are questions that are not answered. And I believe that the best way to connect with Muslims around the gospel is to ask them questions and bring aspects of the gospel that are very important to their needs. So I would say ask questions about the eternal life and what Islam offers. It also depends on how connected you are with these family members. You know, sometimes we are closer to some family relatives more than others. And it is very unique that you are living with them. So I'm assuming they are maybe siblings. So I'm also assuming, are you a follower of Christ? Did you declare this as the reality of your, like you are a real follower of Christ? I'm not sure. So there can be different answers here. But I always value how we live as Christ-centered,
yes,
and as,
yes,
Christ followers. Even among Muslims around us, they will see how different we are. This is number one, seeing how different we are. Number two, every time we are in a real conversation about special needs in our hearts, I always try to dig deeper and see where this person is in terms of their needs for hope, for salvation, for eternal security. And I always bring what I learned about Jesus Christ from the Holy Word of God to the conversation. I think also the book would help you. So I hope this brief answer would help you, my friend.
Dr. Ibrahim, you've been such a blessing, and I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed this conversation. But before I let you go, you have a chapter on avoiding pitfalls. If there's one pitfall that you want us to avoid, what would it be?
I would say that don't try to argue to win or be angry in conversation. Remember, you are always a Christ follower and you're always a Christ-like person who is proclaiming Christ and using specific biblical stories to connect with Muslims around the gospel. And one of the really pitfalls that I talk about in my book is how to navigate cultural discussions and don't chase rabbits, because some Muslims would try to talk about many different topics at once. Just be right, calm and talk about one topic and say, may I talk about this other one in the next meeting or so? And I pray God would give you wisdom in navigating all that.
Well, you know, when Paul describes love, he says love is patient. And I think that we have to remember that, to be patient, to be long-suffering, just as Christ has been with us. If we're going to demonstrate love to our Muslim neighbor, I think it requires us to be willing to endure maybe even some rejection or some defensiveness or some misunderstandings. But remember, Christ died for you so that we might lay down our lives and sacrifice for our brothers and sisters to know Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everyone who called today. I pray, Lord, that you would meet the need, Lord, that you would fill our mouths with your word, that you would give us wisdom on how to bear faithful witness to you. So for Robin from Indiana, for Greg from Birmingham, Michigan, again, for our dear sister Estelle, for those whose calls we couldn't take on air, I pray that you would be merciful to them, that you would show them your grace, your goodness, and that you would bring salvation to their friends and their families. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Dr. Amen. Ibrahim, what a joy to have you. Thank you for joining me today on Equip.
It was a joy, brother. God bless you and your ministry and all your audience.
Friends, the book is entitled Reaching Your Muslim Neighbor with the Gospel. Dr. Ibrahim's book is a blessing. It's a great guide covering everything from how we love them to what stories in the gospel we can share with them to connect with their heart, to the importance and the power of intercessory prayer. What a comprehensive guide for reaching your Muslim neighbor with the gospel. Find out more again at our website, equipradio.org. And help us to lie-proof our boys all month long. Lies Boys Believe, an epic quest for truth by Aaron and Jason Davis. Your gift of any amount, we'll send it over to you. Find out more at equipradio.org. Until we're together again next time, as always, remember, Equip with Chris Brooks is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.